not the end game, and the journey's where you are. You never wanted perfect, you just wanted my heart. And the story isn't over if the story isn't good. Fate is never final, and the Father's in the room. Fate is never final.
I'm just going to share a little bit about my experience from camp and in particular a picture I got on one of the days. And yeah, I hope it inspires. Yeah. So it was, I think it was during, yeah, it was during, it was after worship during one of the ministry times, I think on the Saturday. And I was kind of just, I just got this picture that, like, so I was on this sailboat and it was just like, it was me and Jesus on the boat. And,
you and Jesus on the boat?
Yeah.
Nobody else?
Nah. Just me and Jesus on the boat. And and the sails of the boat were really, like, old and worn out and just, like, full of holes. And, like, any wind was just going straight through. And I felt like God kind of saying to me, like, these sails have gotten you through the past, like, season, but they're worn out now. Like, I'm going to change your sails. I'm going to take these sails down. But while I'm changing them, I have to take these ones off first. So there'll be a moment where the boat stops moving. And so there'll be a period of time the boat doesn't go anywhere. And you and me are just going to hang out. And we're just going to hang out. And we're going to go deeper in relationship. And then I'm going to put the new sails on and the boat is going to go. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's it.
That's really good, isn't it? You're only 18 years old, you're changing your sail. Sorry, he just matured a bit more. He's 19. So tell me, in terms of feeling, you already kind of expressed it. What did that feel like? It's like God doing it to you personally.
Like, do you mean like?
Feel good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, it was kind of like I felt very safe.
Safe.
It's very secure.
So which means your future is safe and secure because you hang out with Jesus. So is Jesus the what's the word? Is he the captain or is just the mate in the boat?
Hadn't thought that far.
Thanks.
Not me.
Holly is next.
Yes, I'll move this way so everyone... Yes. Yes. So sharing some moments from camp and what God was doing. I'm going to get vulnerable for a moment talking about something. So the camp theme was wilderness warfare and worship. And so each of the speaking sessions were on one of those topics. And so one of them was on warfare. And we're talking spiritual warfare here. And so Simon was speaking that day. And, talking about how spiritual warfare occurs. And then just one thing that was said was, like, don't assume that what you're feeling is you if something is keeping you from peace or God's promises. And I started to get really uncomfortable in my seat. And I was like, that really struck a chord. But I started to feel not myself for a moment, just like a little bit squeamish. And two things came to mind in my life. So I have a lot of creative projects on the go, or I have projects and things that I'm looking forward to, or ideas. And I was reminded of these thoughts that flick through my mind at nighttime that say that my ideas or projects that I'm planning are silly or stupid or they'll be embarrassing. I recognize those thoughts as not my own, because these are like projects that I'm really passionate about. And the second thing that came to mind, because as I was sitting there, I started to get like a little squeamish in my stomach. I started to feel like God brought to mind that for a while now, I've been having this like physical panic response to the feeling of nausea. And it's like, I'm not meant to live that way. And so those two things came to mind, and if God was sort of nudging that they were connected. And I was like, okay, interesting. Yeah, they're both ways that I didn't have to live like that. Like, these are things that are obviously not in line with God's plan for me or the way I should be living. Mum prayed for me and Julie prayed for me that day. And later, Richard and Mel Woodley as well. And we identified that both of these things were linked with anxiety and fear. By identifying that these plans of the enemy... he was trying to cut off projects and plans before they even started. And the warfare of the enemy is sort of obvious sometimes. Once you pick it out, you're like, that's not new or anything good. And so once you see it, you can go for it and recognize it. And so now I'm aware of these things, and we've prayed more into the root of them. I can see that they're blatant arrows of the enemy. He's not that sneaky. And if I encounter them again, I know that it's not just me, and I have scriptures that I can use to battle this, and also the landmark of camp to remember back to. And we felt like, thinking about these anxious thoughts at nighttime, battling those, this physical panic response would also stop because of this connection. So, yeah, that's what I'd like to share, that God is doing stuff and continuing to.
Can I get you to pray? Okay. Now, Joshua shared about safe, secure sailing because Jesus is in the boat with him. And when the sail gets worn out, God will replace it. And now Holly is talking about anxiety and fear that trap us, slow us down, and most of the time is the attack of the enemy. So we're going to pray against attack of the enemy, particularly anxiety and fear. And Holly have shared that and felt a release. She's going to pray prophetically. If you identified, all you do is just like, God, that's me. And then Holly will just pray and the Holy Spirit will do the Holy Spirit stuff.
Lord, I thank you that when you work in my life, it's not just for me. It's for your kingdom purposes. And so, yeah, Lord, I just cut off anxiety and fear from anyone who's dealing with that right now. That's not part of your kingdom. That's not the way we should live. There's no fear in love. And we thank you, Lord, that you love us, that it's safe and secure to surrender to you because you love us. And we're on the winning side. And so I just declare fear and anxiety to leave in the name of Jesus, that we have the tools and the battle plans to rise up against that. We have you on our side. The fullness of Christ dwells within us. And so, yeah, I just declare that for people here and that it would even have ripple effects beyond, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks, Holly. That's good. Richard.
I guess all of my life I've hated speaking in front of people, so this is awesome. However... at camp, I actually felt had something come into my mind and knew that it wasn't me, and I stepped out of my safe zone and stepped up and spoke, and here I am again. But in the lead up to that, I'd been identifying that I've actually, for a long time, felt like my tongue has been bound, and that's through feelings of fear, insecurity, unworthy to speak, that what I say is not going to be worthwhile saying. So that was something over the last month or so, it's in different ministry times, has been spoken into and worked through and, yeah, finally released. And I'm not even shaking too much now. But so, yeah. So I guess, yeah, I feel freed in that sense. And, yeah, it's just an encouragement for anyone if you feel that there's blockers for you in your life that are stopping you from stepping into what he has for you every day. Find someone, pray through it and find the release and just, step out. Yeah.
So the psalmist cry out, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you. What it tells me is God wants us to speak, to be pleasing to him. So when our tongue tied and fear of it, that's not of God, because it's very hard to praise God if our tongue is tied. And what happened is it reflects what's happening in our heart. So God wants our heart so that we can speak freely. Why don't you pray? You say that some of people might be...
Lord, I just pray for all of us that, that all of the things that we don't necessarily identify that are not of you that are holding us back, that we can just release them into your care and that we can just thrive and step forward in confidence in all that you have for us and all of who you've made us to be. Amen.
That's good. Thanks, Bridget. I'll get it up. I'll get it up next Sunday. Eh?
So, as has been mentioned over camp, our topic of wilderness warfare and worship, and living in the promises of God. So, I don't know how many of you were here the Sunday before we went, where I really felt we were going into warfare just for some of us to get to camp. I battled that all week. So thank you for those who prayed with me on the Sunday, because every bit of prayer helps. And I battled it every day, and I was speaking on the Sunday about worship. And on the Saturday, I realised that part of my warfare was actually that the enemy wanted to stop me from worshipping. Now, I'm the kind of person who likes to dance around my house and I'm praising God. And I couldn't actually lift my arm above here, my left arm. My neck was really badly out, had been for quite some time, and it was having ripple effects down my arms to a point I could no longer lift my arm. I could not worship the way I wanted to worship. And on Saturday morning of the camp, I realised when I went to throw my arm up and went in crippling pain, this is the enemy. Nothing more. It's the enemy. So I had Simon and Ruth pray for me and my arm was released. My neck was still out. So Saturday night, I came back for some more. Because what God starts, he finishes. The promises of God are yes and amen. And I expect healing. When I ask God for healing, I am in it. I know his kingdom will come. And so I wanted more. Now, by the end of the camp, my neck was free. My arm is up. But I'm still contending for it. Because every now and again, my neck is twinging. Every now and again, I'm feeling that pain in my arm and I get stuck and go, uh-uh, and I have to push through. So sometimes we receive the healing, but we still have to contend. We still have to come into agreement with what Holy Spirit has done. And so I'm declaring that I have received healing and it's sticking around.
Maria and I like to use the word that we're not religious and we don't do religion. We don't do ritual, regulation, but we want to be about relationship, but we also want to be real. So there's four real people coming out here, you know, their struggles, but also their victory, but they're also the step of faith. So you heard of the word gooey?
Yeah.
All right, because Melody is full of faith. I believe the another gooey Sunday, when you go out, there will be prophetic worship in your music. Would you come out and so we can bless you? All right. Holly wants to clarify another gooey Sunday. All come out the another gooey Sunday. So, by the way, it's happening on Friday, but Holly will explain.
Toast decided to give us a plug. But so, us five, you're championing us. That's all good. We enjoy playing music together. So we decided to put it into action, and we're playing a few songs at the Gov open mic on in the front bar on Friday evening coming up. Just because we like to jam. And we've called our band Another Groovy Sunday because we mostly play music here on Sunday. So that's what that is. And you're welcome to come along.
So I just love the initiative that they've taken out. But when you go to a place that sounds familiar, you're basically breaking ground. You're confronting another kingdom. So they need lots of prayer. They're good musician, but I believe, as Melanie was talking about, she has a gift of faith that you guys will go and groove and worship the Lord in whatever God see fitting.
So let's be upstanding, as in we are with you guys, bless you, and we pray for you.
Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for these beautiful-hearted bunch of young adults. Father, thank you that their hearts are for you, that they seek your kingdom first in all they do. And so, Father, as they step out on Friday, would you give them an acceleration and uplifting in the gift of faith, that their presence alone will change the atmosphere because they carry you, Holy Spirit. They are Jesus on this earth today. And so, Holy Spirit, would you give them that gift of faith that the ground they walk upon will be broken for your kingdom, that as they sing together and join their hearts in song, in music, in just the passion that you've embedded within them, Lord, that you are going to take ground. So we just bless them, Holy Spirit, as they practice, as they dream, and as they step out. We bless them, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I invite you all to be upstanding with us as we continue to worship our awesome God.
Here this afternoon, I just thought, wow, you know, I'm home with my family here. And there's a difference. You know, we've been meeting with different Christians and going to different churches while we've been away. But there's something about belonging to a specific part of the body of Christ, which God wants us to do, that is so precious and valuable, that we get to journey with each other, that we get to, you know, experience the good and the not so good, but we do it together. And we do it as we experience His presence with one another, with Him, and it's really precious. So I was so deeply impacted by that coming here today. I just really wanted to encourage any of you that might be here that maybe don't really come here regularly or you're not really feeling like your family, make a decision to be family somewhere, because it's a precious gift from God to you. Yeah. So we just wanted to share just for a few minutes, or 1 minute, because Ty was coming up at 4 o'clock and it's about 1 minute to four, so there you go. I wanted to just, if you can, oh, come on. He's being very liberal. We just wanted to share you a little bit about what's happened to us and what's impacted us. So maybe that first scripture, if we could just bring that back up again before we left, I spoke about that Jesus wants us to be born again because we're born of his Spirit. And we've said, yes to Jesus, you are my Lord in everything, because that's what we need, is for him to be our master. And when we say that and do that by faith, his Holy Spirit comes to live within us. And the wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. And so it is with everyone born of the Spirit. So all of us. And we felt like that, Toe and I, going away. You know, we hadn't even, wasn't even on our agenda to go away. And I certainly didn't want to go because I wanted to go to the camp and all that changed. And I went anyway. And we just had all these great unexpected blessings and joys, meeting fantastic people. And it was wonderful. You know, and I think all of this too was a part of God saying to us as a couple that we're in a new season. But I feel like for a lot of us, God's doing a lot of shifting. And he's bringing us into his new season for us. Like Josh shared with the sailing boat, you know, I'm grabbing that one. He's taking down my old sails. I'm hanging out with Jesus, ready for the new launch to go in wherever God wants for me. But I think that, you know, it's something you can grab onto. We had some of this sort of, God changing us. We got to minister into the church of the friend that invited firstly Ty to come away, and that was in Los Angeles, in the outer suburbs. And we went there, and Ty and I thought, "Yep, now we've got ourselves organised." Ty, you speak in the morning. Good. Okay, I'll speak in the evening. Fantastic. All right, we've got it all sorted out, and we came in on Sunday morning, and I was going to speak a bit about this about the Vineyard Heritage with John Wimber, and about being people of the Spirit and the fire of God. And anyway, we're standing around as the morning's going to start, as people are coming in, and one of the women who actually are kind of more on leadership and do a lot of stuff in the church, she came in and said, "Oh, I've come in, I just feel like I can smell smoke outside." And no one else can smell smoke, but she smells smoke. And Ho and I look at each other and we think, the fire of God. Okay, Maria, let's switch that. So we'd already put his overhead transparency things onto the guy at the machine. All right, Maria, you get your USB, you do that. Blah, blah, blah. So then I was speaking in the morning, and I think they kind of were a bit stunned that we would even do that. Like, you had everything organised and then you just flipped. But it worked so well, of course, God was in that. And, you know, the guy, our friend who's going to be preaching a series following up from us, was all about Vineyard values and about their foundation. So even mentioning what I did was like, great. And just being, you know, we be filled with the fire of God, because that's what he's placed in us. Let us make sure we don't quench that, but keep stirring that up. So it was great. And then Toe came in the evening and did some amazing, very off-the-cuff sort of prophetic speaking into people. It was the right thing. So isn't God good? You know, the things that we think are going to work, and then we're just open to be led like people of the Spirit. God can come in and do great things. And we had great times. We picked up some woman on the side of the road in Fiji when we had a car, and we just prayed into her life, and she was a believer, and she just apparently just got kicked out of the resort where we were staying, and she was on staff. And so she was really down, and we were really speaking to her life, words of wisdom and prophecy and encouragement, and she was singing hallelujah by the time she got out of the car. So it was great. You know, it's just great to bumble along in life and just see what God brings in our path. We went to the missions conference in Texas, and that was great. You know, Vineyard family in America, we just felt like we were part of the family. Which I guess it wasn't too surprising for us, because it's kind of like that wherever you go. And just really met some great people, met people I'd read online about and use their resources, so it was great to actually meet them. That was really nice. And really being able to pray into other people's lives, and they did the same to us. And then just the next slide would be great. We had... we didn't know what we were doing sometimes, most of the time, going away. And as we were flying into Texas for the conference, we were going to land, and we knew that the missions or the retreat was like an hour away, and so we thought, oh, we'll just get a taxi or an Uber or something like that, that's fine. Anyway, so we get on the plane, and that was in San Francisco to fly to Texas, and for some reason they split Toe and I up. I don't know if they had a word, but anyway, no. So anyway, I wasn't sitting with him. I sat down, and sitting next to this lovely lady, and she was very chatty and wanted to buy me drinks and things like that. So, you know, I said no, but after a while, I thought, okay, if you're going to break my arm, you know, and share her food with me. And I thought, oh, she's very lovely. And, yeah, we're just chatting away. She travels a lot, and her home, she was flying back to San Antonio. That's where she lives. And I said, oh, yeah, well, I'm going there for a conference. And, you know, I haven't quite worked out yet, you know, transport. That's fine. We'll just get a taxi and Uber. And she just said, no, I am going to be driving you to your conference. I said, whoa, that's really nice. I said, I do have a husband back there, and we do have luggage. She said, well, I've got a bit of a small work car, but I reckon we'll be able to do it. I said, oh, really? Okay. And so then I thought, I better show her the address, because I'm figuring we're, you know, landing in a pretty big place. Anyway, I showed her the address. She said, I reckon I just live up the road from there. I'm thinking, oh, really? How nice. Anyway, so I'm thinking, well, strange lady, seems nice. Okay, here we go. So anyway, we start off, and we, you know, all get in her car. We fit, fantastic. And we're driving for an hour, and then we realise that when you type in the address that I'd been given to give her, it actually sends you to the wrong spot. So after an hour, we didn't really know where we were. So she rings up her husband. He's going, oh, yeah, I've just checked this retreat place out. Look, the no one's answering their phone. That's not a good look. And there's been no Facebook entries for quite a while. I'm a bit concerned that you're not going to end up anywhere good. I'm thinking, oh, this is great. Anyway, so he's Googling away. So now we've got her in the car, him on the phone, and they're all trying to get Toe and I to our conference. Anyway, 2 hours after landing in San Antonio, we finally get to our retreat, right on time for dinner, for the whole start of the thing. And, you know, I thought, isn't God fantastic? You know, because God, for all of us, sees what's ahead. We don't. I had no idea. I thought, yeah, this will be simple. It wasn't going to be simple. If we paid a taxi, we'd be $200 plus. Everyone's saying, wow, that was really fortunate. But it wasn't fortunate. It was God's amazing blessing. And it just reminded me of what Jesus was saying. You know, we worry about a lot of stuff. But, you know, God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow. And how much more will he clothe you? Don't worry. Don't worry about what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink or wear. Non-believers can all run after these things, but we should be different, because we have a Heavenly Father who knows what we need. So, but if we seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, all the things that we need will be given to us. Isn't that great? So we don't need to worry. Tomorrow's got enough concerns of its own. Just know that God is travelling with you. And, you know, we didn't know what was ahead, but God knew. And how beautiful. This beautiful, and the whole time, you know, I said, you are an angel. What a beautiful heart you have. Oh, thank you. You're great. You know, she just fell in love with us. Well, that's the beginning of a great friendship. So that's got a journey yet to go for itself. So that's wonderful.
And we had a great time, didn't we? Yeah. You can stay up here. Okay. Can you put up the next slide? One of the big revelation is the church is only called to do two things, Christ's commandment and Christ's commission. As somebody says, it's not Christ's suggestion, it is actually a commandment and a commission. So Matthew 28 talks about, you know, go to all nations and all that. And then Acts 1:8 actually unpack it, as in what it looks like, all right? So the question I was wondering during the mission, because we were with a group of about 100, very, very devoted to reaching out to the unreached people. You know, 23 hours flying from USA to Indonesia. When they hit the ground, they start doing stuff. I like, how do you do it? Why do you do it? And that's the scripture, all right? If you look at that scripture, if you connect with Christ's commission, which is go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them all the things that God had taught you. And then Christ's commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, all your mind, all your strength, and love your neighbors as you love yourself. So who are our neighbors? So this unpacked it. So you got Jerusalem, you have Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So do we have an option to say, I just want to hang out in Jerusalem. That's where all my friends are, you know, my holy huddle. Or do we venture out to Judea, which is slightly different, but still similar, as in still Christian context, people of culture. Samaria, different culture, maybe different language, different behavior. And then to the ends of the earth. So I came back thinking, it's not an option, actually. If you want to be a disciple of Christ, you need to at least involve in four of this area. And you have to work out where's your Judea, where's your Samaria. You know, yesterday, Millie and Ellie and the Winters put up something for the Lombok, you know, because they're Indonesia expressing. So we're going to come to communion now. As we do communion, that's really, again, Christ sacrificed on the cross so that he can bring us into the family of God. And the family of God on earth is the church. And he's continuing building the church. And if you understand the movement of the Spirit, the Trinity, it is through the Spirit. Because at the end, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. So the Spirit is continuous doing. But we have a part. And our part is Christ's commandment and Christ's commission. So when you partake and you remember what Christ has done, and you remember Christ is coming back for his church, which is still incomplete, if you read John 17, he's still praying for those to come in. And we have a part. If we don't share the story of Christ, we don't show and tell Christ's love, they will not hear. You know, Romans 10 again, how are they going to hear if nobody tell them? You know, how are we going to tell them if nobody go? So have a think about it. So your Judea might be your neighborhood. You know, I love the another groovy Sunday going out to Samaria. That's their Samaria. you know. Hopefully none of you do pub crawl, but, you know, you're trying something different, but you're bringing, you know. So have a think about it. Just connect with another nation through prayer, through giving, or through possibility of partnership, all right? So we're going to break up into three groups because I want you all to pray and think about it. So it's very simple. Christ came and died on the cross so that we can come to the family, and being part of a family now, we have the Father's business of telling other people what the Father is all about, that Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus is the only truth about the Father. And Jesus is the only life with the Father. And say, come, the doors are open. So we got Melanie and Richard there. We got the Woodley here. And we got the Winters there. Not sure what Maria is doing there, but Maria, you can pass the basket. All right, Maria, you're going to pray, so you have to come up again. All right, so just make a simple, sincere, like,